Learning Rav Dessler, Michtav Meliyahu, Volume 1, page 9 in the Hebrew edition. We started the topic of the heritage of our fathers, our holy forefathers, what we know as Schus Ovis, the merit that we have through having such important forefathers. And basically what we said is that we consider ourselves to be miuchosim. We consider ourselves to be privileged as having a very special lineage. The fact that we are the descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarifka, Rachel, and Leah. And therefore, since we are privileged, we have this privilege, there's a sense of being above the law, in a sense. Hashem will protect us over and above the rest of the creation, because He loves us. But that idea really is not correct, because firstly, Hashem is justice. Hashem is just, He's a fair judge, and therefore it's not fair for Him to give preference to one He loves over, if justice is justice. So therefore, how can He give us a preferred justice? This is one of the questions we asked. Right? The other question we asked was, well, you know, the Torah itself says, you're not allowed to tilt justice. You're not allowed to, judge is not allowed to act in an unfair way. So therefore, for sure, Hashem can't do it Himself. And thirdly, we said that in order to tilt justice, we have to obscure the truth. And that can't be possible, because Hashem is the source of truth. My Hashem, nothing is obscure, nothing is hidden. We live in a world of darkness, a world of shadow, a world where there's obscurity, where there's falsehood. But where the Hashem is, there's absolute purity, there's absolute clarity. So therefore, there can be no falsehood in the presence of Hashem. So therefore, what does it mean that we have the merit of the forefathers? What sort of merit does it give us if Hashem has to treat us the same as everyone else? So therefore, what merit do we have? Seemingly, it doesn't seem to make sense. And the last question we asked was that if the merit of the forefathers is something that's so important for us, what's the idea that Chazal said that sometimes it runs out? Right? Sometimes it runs out either in a qualitative sense or quantitative sense. Certain generations will not merit this help of having the forefathers, giving them credit. So what would that mean? What does it mean that credit runs out? So firstly, we started the essay in the last class by explaining that even though there are certain things that we don't understand, we believe in the Torah, we believe in the truth of the Torah, and therefore even though there are concepts we can't understand, we attribute that to our own lack of insight, our own lack of knowledge. And we realize that Hashem's thoughts are very much deeper than our thoughts. Hashem's thoughts, the way Hashem plans things, is beyond, very, very much beyond what we can possibly imagine. And therefore, we have to trust in the absence of knowledge. We have to trust. And therefore, if a person does have questions, a question is not a reason to back down. A question is not a reason to leave. Just like a child will trust his parents. Even though he doesn't know what the parents are doing, he can't really understand why the parents are doing. And sometimes the parent might even be hurting him. The parent takes the child to the doctor and sticks a big needle in his leg, whatever it is. Right? He said, it hurts, of course it hurts, but that doesn't stop the child from loving the parent. So certainly we have to trust that those areas of the Torah that we don't understand, we have to trust that it is definitely what is supposed to be, and it's definitely good. But then we have a second obligation, and that is to try and understand them to the best of our ability. And here we do have insights that come to us from our sages. We do have the ability to learn. So if at first we don't understand something, if we'll think about it further, we'll examine it further, we'll explore the idea further, then we will find a resolution. We're here on page 9, where he finishes off by saying that any sense that we have that this doesn't make sense is an error, as we ourselves are in error, and we just have to wait for the truth to be revealed. And he has here an idea for us to explain exactly what it means, schus ovis. Right, and similarly this is Kein hu b'chol kushyos. And similarly this has to be the truth with all questions. Whenever we have a question, if we will toil and labor over the words of our rabbis, we have sources, we have many, many books, right? We are the people with the books. So if we'll toil over the sources, the resources that we have, we will be able to understand exactly what it is they're explaining. Granted, there'll be certain ideas where we'll fall short of understanding what our rabbis explained to us. Just because the rabbis have explained it doesn't always mean we understand what they're saying. So certainly that's going to happen as well. Which is to do with the shortness of our grasp. A very short person, a child, can't reach what an adult can reach. So mentally that's also true. Mentally we sometimes our reach is just a little bit short. But hopefully with maturity and with learning, that will grow. Just a child grows to become an adult. So therefore hopefully with our own learning, our understanding can grow as well. However, what we do know testifies that the rest of it is all good. There are certain areas of the Torah we know, and therefore we understand it's all good. And once we see how the Torah is true, and that's clear to us without any doubt, therefore the little bit that we don't yet understand, in Sofik Klal Shakusha Gamkein Ein Bo Mamish, that the questions we have really have no substance to them. The question is just a temporary problem that we have. We can reach solutions to all of our problems, to all of our questions. Kumasha Shebiru Kfa Nisboi Lonu, and just like we've clarified other issues for ourselves, so therefore we can clarify this as well. As we grow, our lives are about a process of growth, and we are supposed to be a little bit more each day than what we were the day before. Therefore, as we grow, so issues will become clarified to us. Hashem will help us. Amnam, however, in this particular case, this time I found, Hashem has found for me, He's merited me to understand these great ideas which will explain the questions we asked. So even though we started off with this topic, and it seemed to be this is an impossible topic to understand, it doesn't make sense. How can we be privileged and at the same time be treated like everyone else? However, here we're going to see something wonderful that does explain this to us. These ideas are going to show us the way where we're going to see light along this way. And it's going to answer other questions for us as well. These are wondrous ideas. Which I found in the writings of our teacher, Reb Chaim Volozhin. Zecher tzadik livrocha. Talmidu hamuvak shel Agro Zatzal, who was one of the outstanding students, who was the outstanding student of the Vilna Gaon. So we have the Reb Chaim Volozhin himself was the founder of the Yeshiva of Volozhin, one of the great leaders. He himself was a student of the Vilna Gaon. And in his writings we have an answer to our question. And this is a quote from his words, from his work, which is called Ruach Chaim. Ruach Chaim is his commentary on Pirkei Avos of Rav Chaim Volozhin. And he writes as follows. He starts with a posuk in Mishlei. Mishalech betumei tzadik, that one who walks in a wholehearted way is a tzadik, is a righteous person. Someone who walks in a wholehearted way is a righteous person. And as he does things with his whole heart, he does things in this, he does it simply in the best possible way. That's a tzaddik. Ashrei bonav acharov. Fortunate are his children after him. person who lives a righteous life, he is the tzaddik, and his children are fortunate after him. His children are fortunate. His children who follow him are fortunate. This is exactly what we're asking. His children are fortunate. We have the righteous ones, that's the forefathers. And their children are fortunate, that's us. We're the children of the forefathers. So that is the pasuk in Mishlei. A person walks in the right path, in a righteous way, his children profit from that. Let's just see how the Reb Chaim Volozhin explains this pasuk. And he says like this, Kikama Midash HaTzadik Torech V'Yogo LaHasigam. There are a number of attributes, a number of approaches, life approaches, which the tzaddik toiled to reach. He worked very hard to reach these attributes. Lebonav Achrav Hem Kamoi Teva Mutbah. So for his children who follow him, they become like a nature. It's something that the parents worked very hard to achieve. So that when the children are born into that household, that's just like that's the norm for them. Something which was supernatural for the parents. The parents worked very hard to get to a certain spiritual level, and they start living their lives in a certain way. The children born into that household, they just see that as the natural way, because they just inherit the way of their parents without all that toil that their parents went through. They only need to toil a little bit to reach what their parents already reached. Now, seemingly what we've just said now is a very simple idea. Right? These short words are a very simple idea. And we could, even if we would read it, we just read it over very quickly. We wouldn't feel anything special. Sometimes you read an article, and you just read it very quickly, and everything seems straightforward. It's all fine. Understand it all. That's it. You go on. Right? And if we don't pay attention to something unusual, you know, you're looking at it so quickly, so you don't pay attention that there's something actually very unusual, very powerful here. This is not so, my dear ones. The ideas mentioned here are very, very exalted. And this is because, as you know, each person, in whatever situation he should be, has free choice. This is one of the principles. Each person, every person in the situation which he is, has free choice. Right? We all are choosers. We all have the ability to choose. When we choose between the better option and the worse option. Right? There are always two options. You have a choice. Right? Like a person at the crossroads, he can go to the left, he can go to the right. So we have situations where we choose. We're called Baalei Bechira. We are masters of choice. We have free choice. We're not machines. We're not automated. We don't have to go in a certain way. We make choices for ourselves. And this is true for any situation. Bechirosa tomid benekuda achas. However, the point of choice is always at a certain point. There's what's known as a point of choice. There's a point of choice. Ashebo u kemistapek on the kudasa. On the Kudus HaMishka, it's that point in which a person, that's the point that he hesitates about, should I go like this or should I go like that? There's certain things in life that you suddenly stop and pause and you say, what should I do in this particular situation? And it's always at a certain point, which is to say that points that are higher or lower than our point of choice, meaning it's higher than our point of choice or lower than our point of choice. So there we don't have any doubts at all. That's not our field of battle, so to speak. If our spiritual level will change in the future, so then also our point of choice will change. We're going to explain this in a minute. Lemoshal, let's have an analogy to explain this. Higher than our point of choice at the moment is Latsum Lishanit Nashem Isborach Imcholana Alavoin Regoim Shal Bitl Torah. A person, let's say, would want to fast the entire day and to spend the whole day davening to Hashem to forgive him for those moments which he could have been doing mitzvahs, he could have been fulfilling mitzvahs of Hashem or learning his Torah, and he wants to pray to Hashem, Hashem should forgive him. And that's not something that any of us see as an option. Right? None of us see that as an option. I'm going to spend the day fasting and praying to Hashem and crying to Hashem to forgive me on the very smallest sins. We understand that there is such a level, but it's not within our realm of choice. It's not within our price range. Right? You go shopping, so you want to buy a gift for someone, so you know, right? You know that beyond a certain price, it's nothing to discuss here. You know, should I spend $10,000 on the gift or $20,000? It's not a question, because it's not our realm of choice. It's not where we are. Maybe people on a higher spiritual level will have such choices. Should I spend the day fasting and praying and crying to Hashem? But that's beyond our choice. On the other hand, we also have below our choice, where that's also not a question. Lamatam b'chiro seinu. Let's say lower than our choice. We have no yetzor that will come to and persuade us maybe you should smoke a cigarette on Shabbos. No one would think that such a thing, right? No one, let's say, in this group would even have such a worry. That's not even a test for us. You know, that's simple. That's simple. That's something we wouldn't do. It's not called a choice anymore. Right? No one has a choice, you know, should he commit murder or not. It's just not something you think about. It's not something it's not even a question. So below our point of choice, the question is just dissolved, because it's simple that we won't do these things. Beyond our point of choice, also it all dissolves because it's unrealistic. Where we are, that's called our point of choice. Right? Where we are right now, our spiritual situation as we are right now, that's where we have choices. And that's where we grow. You know, let's say you make a right decision, so you take a step in a certain direction. After that, you're going to be making other decisions because you're now in a different situation. You changed your situation somewhat, and if you took a step in a certain direction, now you have other choices. Or if you took the other choice, let's say you took the high road or you took the low road, then you also have different sets of choices. If a person has, wherever you are, you have a set of choices, and that's where your level is.
Correct.
Now, hina avos, the forefathers, they cannot choose for their children. Every person has his own free choice. Every person has to struggle with his own free choice, to try and make the right decisions over the wrong decisions. To try and choose that which is good over that which is bad. So that no one can choose for you. No one can choose for you. Only you can choose for yourself. Your parents can't help you to choose. Our forefathers and foremothers cannot help us to choose. He called Adam Boichel Atzmoy. Every person chooses for himself. Aval Madreigas Nekudas Abachir Tavoy L'Adam Me'Avoyso Me'Choncho. However, the points of choice where you start, that can come to you from your forefathers, from your fathers, from your parents, and from your educators, your teachers, those people who teach you. Now, they can set you up, they can start you off at a certain point. They can start you at a certain point. So if you can imagine it as a road, right? So everyone's on different places in the road, and where he is on the road, he can take a step forward or he can take a step back. That's his free choice. But where along the road he is, that's where his parents dropped him. His parents dropped him this place in the road, or higher or lower, right? So that, the point of choice where you start, that's what you receive from your parents. We're going to explain all of this a little bit more shortly. We find children are very righteous people who become wicked. We do find such a thing. Right? People of, you know, we find children of very frum families that go off the path, mm-hmm. and they lose it all. And that is because they chose and they continue to choose the evil path, bad. They continue to choose bad over good. And therefore they went down from the level which they'd inherited from their father. They started off in a home where a certain standard was being maintained. And then they chose a series of choices that led them down, 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 down. But the starting point was the place that their father set for them. So let's say a person is born in a very good family. He's got free choice. But his starting place is that family. So that family is a very good family, a very honest family. It keeps Shabbos, it keeps mitzvahs. It's a very righteous family. So that's his starting point. He can then choose. He can choose to become more than his family. right, to be even bigger than his parents were. Or he can choose the other way around. He can choose to choose the down road, right? He goes down. He slides, but he's sliding down from the place where they started him off. Right? You have the other way around also. A person can be born in a family with a very low standard of morals, etc. A very immoral family. A very lowly family. And he himself chooses to improve. And he goes, and he, from that starting point where he starts, he goes very, very high. He goes very, very far. And this is even more so. This is the forefathers inherit to us their attributes and their spirit. Their attributes of their spirit. So therefore, now we're starting to explain what we asked before. What does it mean that we have the schus avos, the merit from our fathers? Because we are inheriting their starting point from them. You know, the great acts that they did, our forefathers did, right? The stories we know from the Chumash, they're all part of our starting point. And therefore we've got this advantage. We're starting at an advantage. This is what it means, schus avos. We're starting at their starting point. Whatever they did, we take as our starting point. Let's see how far this goes. Ki moisif rach zatzal v'kusiv. As Rav Chaim writes as follows, K'mosha nire v'chush, sh'rabi me'am ha'aretz sh'v'yehudi moisim etz asman an kudish kiddush Hashem. This is the example he uses. We find many times that ignoramuses in Yiddishkeit, very simple Jews who've had very little learning, are willing to give up their lives for the sake of the Torah. Right? There were situations where Goyim came up to Jews, simple Jews, villagers who were very unlearned, and they said, you know, either you bow down to our idols or we kill you. And these very simple Jews who hardly knew anything of the Torah, they said, kill us. Okay, kill us. Right? We have this throughout the Crusades. We have throughout the history with the Inquisition, the Spanish Inquisition. And Jews who were involved with business, Jews involved with everyday life, they were struggling to make panosa. And they were not scholars and they were on very high spiritual levels. But when it came to issues of whether it was should they give up their lives for their for Yiddishkeit, they were willing to do it. Right? So where does it come from? It comes because it's ingrained in us from our forefather Avraham. He is prepared to give up his life by Ur Kazdim for his faith. Right? Nimrod threatened Avram Avinu to accept his idols or to be thrown in a fire. And Avram Avinu, in his greatness, said, throw me in the fire. Which is what happened. He threw him in the fire and there was a miracle, he was saved. Now that's not a simple thing to do. A person is prepared to give up his life for an ideal, for a concept. That is a level that's very, very difficult. But once he acquired it, so now it becomes part of the it becomes in our genes, so to speak. Now we inherit that concept ourselves. This power to be able to give up our lives for spirituality, a person is prepared to give up his life for spirituality. Right, he finds it hard to concentrate in davening, right? He finds himself hard to resist different desires, but he's ready to give up his life for Yiddishkeit. It's like an amazing thing, right? When it comes to getting up in the morning to fight for davening, he can't get out of bed. But when you say to him, I'll kill you if you don't bow to an idol, he says, all right, so kill me. So we have this, where did he get this from? It's an inheritance from his forefathers. How is it possible a simple person who never reached high spiritual levels is prepared to sacrifice his life, and it's even easy for him? He does it willingly, fine, no problem, kill me, I don't care. So how can it be? The answer is because he inherited from Avram Avinu. So he inherits a quality. So now this is his quality. So this is the privilege that we have. We have certain qualities that we've inherited from our forefathers, and that's our starting place. Menir lehalan came kol asoris anisyonis hayu lehayashe haderech lefanein. All of the 10 tests we know from tradition, right? From Pirkei Avos, we say it every week. Those who read it, those who read Pirkei Avos every week in the summer, when we learn Pirkei Avos, so it says that Avram Avinu was tested with 10 trials. So those 10 trials that he undergo, that he succeeded in passing. So that's part of our heritage. That's ours. What he did is ours, right? We're the children who inherited his ways. So an example of that would be the sudden arousement a person has to go and live in Eretz Yisrael. It comes from the test of Lech Lecha. Avraham Avinu was told, and you have to remember, he was a pioneer. For him it was very hard. Things that were hard for the fathers, remember the same things. Things that were very hard for the fathers become very easy for the kids. The classic example is Baal Tshuva, who's been living a totally secular life. Right? And suddenly he should give up on all the pleasures. Right, Saturday at the beach with a portable radio and with all the all the fun. He's going to give that all up for Yiddishkeit. So, but for his children, it's very simple. They're just born into a frum home, so it becomes very, very simple. So, therefore, that's the tests of Avraham Avinu now became our heritage. Therefore, if a Jew, you find a Jew suddenly has an arrive feeling that he has to come and live in Eretz Yisrael. Where did he get that from? That was the test of Lech Lecha. Hashem said to Avraham, leave your family. Leave your hometown, go to a foreign place, which is Eretz Israel, and serve me there. Right? Go and serve me over there. I don't know anyone there. I don't know if I'll have a livelihood there. I don't know how I'll support myself there. I'm going to take my family there. How can I possibly go to some place? How can I go to some place? But he overcame that test. And now you can have a Jew suddenly wakes up one morning and says, I'm going to Eretz Israel. I have to go. Right? What's pushing him? Where does this come from? It's in the genes. It's 2,000 years. Imagine, it's 2,000 years the Jews are away from their land. We were exiled by the Romans 2,000 years ago. How can there be a love of Eretz Israel for something that's totally forgotten? This is not a national spirit. Right, if you take an Italian who's been living in the United States for the last 200 years, he doesn't have a sudden desire to go back to Italy. I'm an Italian. He's an American. Forget it. He's forgotten all about it. He's forgotten about that he has these roots. It's not nationalistic. Here we're away 2,000 years, and yet there's still a spirit in us to say to us, we have to go to Eretz Yisrael. If it was just nationalistic, then we would have already forgotten about Eretz Yisrael a long time ago. Long time ago. It's 2,000 years ago. Who can remember that, We have no national memory. We have no national pride in what happened 2,000 years ago. Just like any other nation that's been many, many years away from their land, there's no connection anymore. But our love for the land of Israel is linked to holiness. It's linked to something spiritual. It's not a nationalistic spirit. It's not because it's a national pride. It's to do with the holiness of the religion. Which is the holiness of the land. The land itself, Eretz Israel has itself as a land, which attracts us like a magnet. That's where we can find Hashem to a greater degree, in Eretz Israel. And that holiness is part of our personality. It clings to us. This is an inheritance from our father Avram. He stood up to the test of go, leave your home, leave your father's home, leave the comfort of your family, etc., and go off to a foreign land. He passed that test. And therefore, for us, it becomes a simple thing. For him it was a very hard test, which we'll explain, please God, at another time. It was a very, very hard test. But now, because he's done it, he broke the ice. So therefore, for us, it's a simple thing. So that's the second example. Our first example was giving up his life for Yiddishkeit. Being thrown into a fire rather than bowing down to an idol. What's the big deal? There's a stone rock there. Bend your back, you'll do back exercises. You pick up a $10 bill from the ground, and then you bow down to it. Big deal. No. Kill me. Where did we get that from? From Avram. That was example number one. Example number two, a sudden desire to want to go live in Eretz Yisrael, to come back to Eretz Yisrael, to visit Eretz Yisrael. Where does that come from? It comes from our forefathers. It comes from Abraham. We've got that ingrained in us. This is what makes us special. Here comes another example. Beautiful example. Ba'oid Sham, the Kabbalah is called Avdin B'Yishmael Tov. Right? There's a certain approach, which is a holy approach, a life approach, a life thought, that whatever Hashem does is for the good. Right? This is something also ingrained in us. Right? That even when the worst things happen to us, we say this is for the good. This is for the good. I don't see it now. I don't see how this can possibly, some tragedy happened or something, a calamity happened. I just lost all my money. I just lost my house. Whatever it is, right? I just became sick. Right? But this also is for the good. So that's a certain way of thinking. That's a very strange way of thinking, but that's something we've inherited. Where does that come from? So he says it comes in Yisroel Harav, from the test of the famine. Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, go to Eretz Yisrael, and everything will be fine there. So he goes, and there's a famine, and there's nothing to eat. Terrific. I did what you told me, and I came, and now we're all starving. So now what? So now we're going to go to Egypt. Terrific, right? That's why we came to Eretz Yisrael, to go to Egypt. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful, you came to Eretz Yisrael to go and live amongst the Palestinians, to go and live amongst the Arabs. That's why we came to Eretz Yisrael. So, however, this was a test which he passed. He did not think badly about the attributes of Hashem. How is Hashem is treating me so badly? He did not think like that. He didn't say, what is Hashem doing to me? And that's what the verse says, that the tzaddik falls seven times and he gets up each time. Where a wicked person falls once and that's it. The wicked person, once his expectations are not met, he's leaving. He's going back. That's it. It's not for him. Right? The tzaddik falls seven times. One trouble, and then another trouble, and another trouble. And he finally gets up. He just keeps popping up. The tzaddik, even though he falls, he doesn't consider it as falling. Rather, he stands in his position. In other words, this is just a test. It's just a test I have to overcome. It's one of the obstacles in the course that I have to pass. He's expecting difficulties because that's how he's going to prove himself. So when the difficulties come, like a person who takes a test. So he studies for the test and then he expects there to be difficult questions. They're not going to be easy questions. And he didn't learn a course for a whole year to be given very simple questions at the end, which anyone can do. He worked hard all year round, and now he's writing the test, and the test is difficult. It's supposed to be difficult. He expects it to be difficult, but he's ready. He's prepared. He's prepared to answer all the questions. He's ready. On the contrary, when a difficult question comes, he says, oh, now I'll show him. Now I'll prove myself. Now I know the answers to this. So the same thing, right? We have the inheritance of the tzaddik, who, in situations of difficulty, we're going to prove ourselves. So this is it. We stand up. We stand right. The waves are breaking all over you, but you're standing erectly. Whereas the wicked person who's expecting everything to go his way, everything to be easy, everything should be comfortable. So the minute things are not the way he wants it, he leaves. He collapses. The whole thing falls apart. When a calamity comes, he thinks that's the end. It's the end of the world. It's the end of my life. And therefore, he immediately gives in. He doesn't think about it as something for his benefit in order to give him reward. So that approach is an approach we have learned, that when difficulties come our way, that means, oh, this is something I have to stand up to, so that I will receive reward from passing this test. Who can understand such an idea? How far such an idea reaches. This is really a very, very wondrous idea. Imagine to be able to greet difficulties with a smile. Here comes a problem. Okay, we'll deal with it. Smile. Hey, a problem. Okay, so there's problems. Problems have solutions. That's a wondrous, wondrous approach. Where do the Jewish people have such a... This is a Jewish trait. of not collapsing under difficulties, not standing up to difficulties, of pressing on, pushing on. So where did the Jewish people get this? La'amud l'amalim yikol ruvei tzeres, and that they can rise above all their troubles. And we've had plenty of troubles. The Jewish people have had plenty of troubles. They had more than their fair share of tzoros. Lo lisyayish klal, lak lekavos, and never to give up hope, just to keep hoping. Just to be hopeful, it'll be alright, please God, everything will be fine. Halo zehi rak yirushas avos, we've inherited this from our fathers. We have seinu kedoshim shekiblu akol be'avo, from our holy forefathers who received all of us, Hashem's tests with love. Hashem said to them, you're special, but then he went and started testing them, all sorts of difficulties. Tzuru'u, im tzimtzu b'yehudi shadayin yesh bo re'ach shel yirushas avos. Just look. This is an experiment we can do. This is something we can see for ourselves. Look, if you have a Jew who's still got a bit of Yiddishkeit in him, right? Maybe even a secular Jew who's gone very far, but there's still a smattering of Yiddishkeit in him. He has a bit of the inheritance of our forefathers. He just goes and commits suicide. You don't have that. Suicide is not such a, it's not a very Jewish thing to just, it's a goyish thing. It's not such a Jewish thing. We've got someone who's got the spirit of Torah in him to go and commit suicide is just not, it's very rare. Where does this come from? We stand up to difficulties. The difficulties come. We bear the brunt. We get through it, and we believe that it's for our good. We believe that this is really a good thing. Afim sovlu rav moed, even though they suffered very greatly. Jewish suffering is classic. He thinks this is an atonement for his sin. This is helping him to rise to a higher spiritual level. And this is because our holy forefathers are cling to spiritual life. You see, this world is not an end in itself. It's really, we're just here in order to reach a much higher level. A much higher level of spiritual life, the eternal life of the world to come. She dveikus al makor achayim, which is to cling to the source of all life. Dveikus el avisvora, to be clinging to Hashem himself, to be attached to Hashem's eternity. Hashem is eternal, and we can be eternal as well by attaching ourselves to him. Ubagiyam lezei sigu ki kol ashe yase Hashem yisborach. And when they reached this idea, they understood that whatever Hashem does, apim mitzu osam, timis, hamaisim ahem, ruchnim hema. It all matches our inner spiritual level, and it's all spiritual. All the troubles that you suffer, these are really all, it's all spiritual events to bring out the spirituality within you. It's for me. If a certain test comes my way, this is my test. It's been specially prescribed for me. Like a doctor gives a specific prescription to a different patient. He doesn't give the one prescription to all the patients. So the same thing, this is something that's for me. This is something for me to pass this test and to excel and to reach greater closeness to Hashem. B'chol oifen sheyeh, ein behem shum rachas v'sholman. There's no evil in it at all. The worst things can happen to me. This is not bad. It's not bad. This happened, that happened, this was lost, that was lost. It's not bad, chas v'sholman. It's all from Hashem. So this approach is this learned response. We say no evil can come from Hashem. Hashem is the source of all goodness. Hashem does not do evil. No evil comes from Hashem. And even a person in the lowliness of his level, of his intellect, sees things which seem to be evil. Seem to be bad things are happening to him. It's only because he's just looking at the physical manifestation, the physical envelope of the situations. It's like a garment. Now, whatever happens in our lives, so there's the physical aspect of it, and then there's the spiritual soul of it. So sometimes the physical appearances looks like it's very negative, very bad, it's very uncomfortable, it's very evil. But that's just an outer garment. The inner core is all goodness. It's all the goodness of Hashem. So therefore, what seems to be on the outside, externally, it looks like a bad thing. externally looked right, the Holocaust. Right? You look, everyone looks at the Holocaust, wow, terrible thing, right? That's the external garment, is that it was a national tragedy, it was a terrible murder, a terrible injustice, a horrible torture, horrible way of being treated. All of that is the external garment of Hashem acting with us, working with us. Sometimes a tikkun of a person that he needs to die and go into the next world. Right? That's where the remedy is going to come. That's going to be his relief. That's what he has to then do. I heard in a shiur just a few weeks ago that Hashem promised Abram the Jews would leave Egypt. So the question is, they didn't all leave. 4/5 died in Egypt. The answer is no. That's how they left Egypt. Those who died in Egypt, they left Egypt also. Right. They left in a different way. Their souls also were taken into upper worlds, higher worlds. They didn't merit to leave in an outward way. But they also left. They left via the ground. But they left Egypt. It's also called leaving. We don't know how Hashem's running things. We don't know exactly. We don't ask how long we're supposed to be here, when we're supposed to go home. Different people have different tasks. Some people come and they do their work quickly and they leave young. And say, what a tragedy. Not a tragedy. He finished his job. He's going home. You know, we still have stuff to do. We're running behind. But, you know, this person finished his job and he went home. Right? The world to come is home. So therefore, the tragedy is what seemingly outwardly is the tragedy. That's just the garment. Right? The person puts on a certain garment, so he looks a certain way. Right? If I put on a doctor's coat, then you'd all think I'm a doctor. Because I've got the coat, but the coat isn't gone. Because I've got a white coat. Therefore, I'm a doctor. I know garnish from not being a doctor, right? Okay, so what, the coat makes me a doctor, yeah?
You put on a black
jacket. You think I'm a rabbi? Wow, we're terrible. Okay. So therefore, the same thing. It's just the externality. And just like our bodies are a garment for our souls. Our body is not who we are. Our body is also just a vehicle. It's just a dress. It's a garment. Our bodies, our arms, our limbs is just a garment for our real selves. Our real selves lies within the body. Which is the personality. The personality is something spiritual, not physical. It's not physical personality. It's not something, that's not floating around in the liver or in the brain or whatever. It's not physical at all. The person himself is something spiritual. And therefore, that which seems to be in the physical aspect as the acts of Hashem is just the garment, the outer garment. The true reality is the inner spirituality. Someone understands these ideas at a deeper level. So he starts to sense the opportunity here, the spirituality in the situation. So then he sees it differently. Amitis, he sees the truth of the reality. Yeda ki boruhu bli shum sofik. He'll know clearly, without any doubt, shekol ma'aseh Hashem hem tovim hema. They're all good. Whatever Hashem is doing is all good. It's all pure good. Mikol tzad, on every side, it's good in every aspect. Yesh bim ach hashpos tov v'chesed lebruim. It's just simply an influence of goodness and kindness. Hashem does kindness with us. And this is exactly the example the rabbis gave to give of this of Nachum Ish Gamzu. There was a great rabbi whose name was Nachum, and he was called Nachum Ish Gamzu. Ish Gamzu, the man Gamzu who said also this. Shneim al kol dover. He used to say, why was he called Gamzu? Right? It's because it's a Jewish surname, right? Gamzu. Right? But it comes from Nachum Ish Gamzu. Because he used to say about every situation, Afilu Mashanira Rabbi, he said, even something that looked particularly bad, Gamzu Latoiva, this also is good. This also is good. Pirish Gamzu Shanira Lanura, which would say, also this which appears to be evil. But the good is certainly good. The good things in our lives are certainly good. And also this which doesn't look good is also good. So that is that became his name. That became his whole approach, and that we've also absorbed that to a certain degree. We should maybe can be stronger in it, but that's something else which is into our built into ourselves. And then Raklal, that's he used to say, that whatever appears to be good is not what appears to be evil is not evil at all. Leshutoiv mamish. It's really, really good. Kitach lisoitoiv, because it's going to bring to goodness. How can it be good? How can the Holocaust be good? It's good because it leads to goodness. It leads us to goodness, that the goodness that awaits us. V'ari yikam oshu smechim ne'odom menituach asher yatzliach v'pesa odom yichoyli asher achrisu hayaboru ki hu adei o'ivad. Just like a person would be happy to have undergone an operation where they went and removed certain organs from his body or certain limbs from his body, but he knows that this is going to save his life. So therefore the operation is a success. Even though they went and cut him up and they took pieces out of him, etc., but this is saving his life. So therefore the person who knows that he, if certain elements of his life are cut away, so then that's right. It's like you have a fruit that's partially rotten. So if you cut away the rotten part, so you save the rest of it. Right? If you leave the rot together with the rest of it, it infects the whole fruit, you lose the entire fruit. It's part of it's rotten. And you just leave it, and the whole thing becomes rotten. But if you can cut off that which is rotten, you save the fruit. So that's what we understand here. We understand that the tragedies that happen are really not tragedies. It's just Hashem is working with us to save what we have, that we can work on the positive, build ourselves positively, and be saved and be trimmed off from us whatever is holding us down, whatever is spoiling things for us. Person loses a lot of money. That money was an obstacle for him. It was preventing him from reaching his own personal goodness. But now that you're lighter, right? We've lightened you from your load. So now you can start traveling. You're being held down. You're burdened down by this weight. Right? Maybe a person had great wealth and was burdening him down. He couldn't do anything. He was stuck. And now we've relieved him of that burden. So now he can start moving again. He can start growing, progressing spiritually. Right? Had he not had the operation, would have been destructive. So for us also, we have to look at every single trouble. Right? We have to see even more so that this is the truth for us. So this again is a positive attribute we acquired from Avraham Avinu. The next paragraph just starts off with words. This strength our forefather Avram acquired to us, that he, by standing up to the test of hunger, which was for him extremely difficult, was breaking the ice for us, that we should also be able to pass such tests. We'll continue with this in the next class. Please go on.